One of the subplots to this game is Patrick Queen, a guy that the Ravens, did they diss him here, or is this just the business of football? Can you pay two inside linebackers big money? Of course, I'm not him. I would probably feel that way if I were him. And he talked to reporters yesterday about how he felt, and he said that some of this was the first time he had revealed his true feelings and that they never made an offer at all. So regardless of how we look at it or how anybody looks at it, the important thing is that Patrick Queen believes that he was dissed by the Ravens, just not offered anything. Let's hear that. Let's hear some of it. Oh, limitless wonder.
Yeah, see, I won't answer this. I wasn't offered to go back. I think, I don't know if I said that or not, put that in the public or not. I wasn't wanted back. I didn't get an offer back. And, it's definitely kind of upsetting, being there for 4 years and the bond that you grow with your teammates and stuff. But at the end of the day, like I said, the first few months, you definitely go through those feelings. And now, after playing games, you just go by. You just want to win games. You want to win with your teammates, your new teammates. You want to bond with those guys. Everything that you do is for this organization that you're at now. And like I said, I will have feelings. Obviously, anybody in my position would this week. So just take one day at a time. And whatever happens, happens.
How do you channel that?
Self-control. Prayed about it a little bit. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the outside picture makes it bigger than what it is. I think for me personally, it's just, like any situation that anybody, like I said, that would be in my shoes, they would feel a certain way, but I don't think it had to be anything more, anything extra.
Have you talked to Harbaugh and Costa since you signed here?
I have not, no. Never had a conversation with either of those two, so,
So how long did it take you to kind of work through those feelings and get to the other side where you are now?
Probably till the end of August, early September. Even though I sign and stuff, you obviously still go through those feelings and stuff. Just knowing that a long 4 years that you put in blood, sweat, and tears over there, like I said, the guys that you bonded with, built close relationships with, even the training staff to the strength staff, everybody that you built a relationship with, you put your body on the line every single time that you went out there, even when you could barely even move your leg or whatever the injury may have been. You just go out there and try to do your best for that team. So I definitely did feel a type of way after the whole situation, but I'm over it now.
Is he, though? I kind of hope he's not from the Steelers' perspective. It sounds like he's definitely going to carry some extra emotion onto the field, which sometimes can be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm thinking it'd be a good thing in this case. And I get how he feels, too. No matter what it is, no matter how reasonable it might be from a business perspective, you're going to feel that way if somebody rejects you in any way, shape, or form. The old, it's not about you, it's, my problem type of thing. You've been broken up with. We all have limits. The old, it's not about you, that doesn't work.
No, typically it is about you.
It really is. It is. They say it's not about you, it's about you. That's code for it is about you. But that's okay. That doesn't mean that they're right. You can prove them wrong. He can prove them wrong on Sunday. Some of the plays that he made, I won't even say that. I mean, they were unblocked, but who cares? He's been noticeable. He made some great plays. I don't care if some of the sacks of Peyton Manning that Joey Porter had in that great playoff game were scheme sacks. So what? He got there fast and brought the guy to the ground. I don't care about that. I am curious to see how Patrick Queen fares in the second half of the season. We heard Rob Long yesterday. Do you have his clip on Patrick Queen? Because Rob Long from 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore, I think he's very good at what he does. He was critical of this signing. So were a lot of people about seven games into the season here. But it seems like Patrick Queen, and this would be easily explained, it would make sense that as he's getting used to this defense, and especially he's sort of a hub of communication, there's a lot there, that he would get up to speed and would get better as the season goes along. The question is, what kind of Patrick Queen do we see from here on out? Patrick Queen playmaker, getting pretty big money for his position, second team all pro? Or does Patrick Queen kind of get the Minka benefit of the doubt where, oh, even if the numbers aren't good and you're not noticing that him that much, he's still playing well. And look, they're the you know, second ranked scoring defense in the league, that type of thing. Not saying that's wrong. There might be something to that. Sometimes just because you're not noticed doesn't mean you're not doing a good job. In fact, it might mean you are. There's a lot to weigh in there. But I tend to think when you're playing his position, that when you're playing it well, that even the average fan, when they tune in, is gonna notice, oh, there's that Patrick Queen guy running all over the field, making big plays. So what's going to happen over these final eight games with him? What are we going to get? Rob Long still isn't sold. That's for sure. Let's hear what he had to say yesterday about Queen. Maybe Roquan's problem is Patrick Queen isn't there anymore, Rob. One of your favorites, right?
Yeah, that's about it. That's not it. Because Trenton Simpson is actually having a really good year. So that's not it.
How about Queen? He started slowly. Your name comes up often on the show. We were thinking, man, Rob was right. But in the past couple weeks, he's come on. And I thought, I don't know if you saw the game, we thought he had a really strong game, very noticeable against Washington.
And as I told you before, he'll have those games. He will. But overall, you know, he'll be Patrick Queen. He'll be what he was at the beginning of the season. I like Patrick Queen. So that's the misnomer. I personally like him. It's just my assessment, my opinion about him as an inside linebacker is he's not that great. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't pay him to be great, you're good to go. I think he's at his best when you have a Batman and he can be a Robin.
There you go. So he's talking about his consistency and doesn't expect him to keep this up. I'll say this much, with the level of competition rising in the second half of the season here, they're going to need a very, very good Patrick Queen. That's for sure. Limits, what do you think? How would you grade Patrick Queen so far?
A little bit up and down like a roller coaster, but he's come on as of late. Really, really liked the performance that he had against Washington. He right now, I think, is moved from B-minus territory to B. He's been a B player for them, which you want him to be an A-minus, B-plus player. But with more time in the scheme, I think he's really finding his role. In this game, I expect him to break out even more.
Have you listened to Deshaun Elliott's podcast yet?
No, I know there's a clip that's making the rounds.
Why don't we play that for people next, if we can find it? He is entertaining. And he's been really good, by the way. When that guy hits people, they don't move after that. Have you noticed that about him?
He's a tough physical player.
I really like him. That was a really good signing. And he had some advice for Marlon Humphrey from the Ravens. We're going to play that clip for you next. Did you see where Aaron Rodgers responded to the Mike Williams Instagram post?
No. Did he?
Limits said so. Or what did William tell us? What William said? And the story starts, of course, back in New York when Aaron Rodgers threw Williams under the bus for not running the proper route that resulted in an interception at the end of the Bills game, and said there's this imaginary red line that, you know, the quarterback throws to that the receiver's supposed to be on, and Mike wasn't on the red line, and don't blame me, it was his fault. That's not exactly what Rodgers said. But I think that's how Mike and everyone else in the universe took it. And then what did Mike say after his touchdown when he came to the Steelers? Or what did he post?
Oh, he posted the snake emoji, and he also put hashtag redline in his post.
Which is tremendous. And so they brought that to Aaron Rodgers yesterday, the New York media did. And he actually laughed. He seemed to take it pretty good-naturedly and said, I didn't see it. That's fine. I don't have a reaction. I like Mike, and I'm happy for Mike. What a wonderful ending to that story, huh, Limits?
That makes everyone pleased and happy.
I'm happy for everybody. How about the disaster that is the Jets? Oh, but that's not what I wanted to talk about for a minute here. It's Bo Nix. Did you see what Mahomes said to Sean Payton after the game?
Think he's got a special one in Bo Nix.
I think you got a guy. That's what he said to him. And then he said to Nix himself, something like, great job. Keep leading these guys, and there's going to be a lot more of these. This is just one. In other words, between him and Mahomes. Bo Nix looks great. He seems to have been a great draft pick. Did you see the no-look throw he had against the Chargers?
I did. He really fits that scheme and that system that Sean Payton wants to do, and it seems like Bo Nix is listening to Sean Payton. It's not like the alpha ego of Russell Wilson, where he was already so established in Seattle and then comes to Denver, and Russell Wilson basically can't get along with Sean Payton, and they're just Sean Payton wanting to control so much of the offense. So, yeah, I think Bo Nix is really, because he can make all the throws. He's athletic enough to do it. And you always wonder if a guy who's had that many college snaps, that old of a quarterback, can do it in the NFL right away. I commend Bo Nix. He looks pretty good. Probably the third best quarterback in the class right now.
Man, he looks really good. And he was horrible the first 2 weeks. He was. He had no touchdowns and four picks against Seattle and the Steelers. And since then, he has, what, 10 touchdowns and only two picks. And he's had games running for 75 and 61 yards. You just don't know. Can you get Brian Kelly slamming the desk? You just don't know. It's the same thing over and over again. There's no way to anticipate, to project how these college quarterbacks are going to fare in the NFL, because you can't replicate the speed of the game. You can't replicate how they react and read defenses. You just can't do it.
No.
It just seems to be the hardest position in all of sports to project. And at any given time, there's probably only about 10 guys in the whole world who are playing that position at a high level, 10 to 12, whatever. So many people miss, and they miss so often, you know? And it sure looks like the Broncos hit on this guy.
Well, think about this. I mean, all the guys in the last couple of drafts, Anthony Richardson with the Colts getting benched for Joe Flacco, now is going to play again. Zach Wilson, Josh Rosen. It just seems like the game speeds up on them. For Bo Nix, it seems like as more and more games go by, the game is starting to slow down. It definitely slowed down for Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is an absolute stud, as was C.J. Stroud last year. Although, you know, man, they watch tape and they adjust. C.J. Stroud is great, don't get me wrong, but he's not as great as he was last year.
Sophomore slumps are for real.
Yeah. So you look at the first three players taken in the draft the first three players, Caleb Williams, Daniels, and Drake May. Bo Nix is right there with Daniels. I think they're the best two, don't you? Drake May's shown a couple of flashes. Bo Nix, the 12th pick. Man, I wonder how many teams are going to regret not taking him. One of them maybe being Chicago, right?
No, I think they're going to be fine with Caleb Williams.
They
have to give him some coaching.
Do you know?
Yes, they do. Their head coach needs to be gone. They already fired the offensive coordinator. They have good weapons. Their offensive line. Caleb Williams has been sacked like 50 times this year.
How about the New York Giants picking six? You think they might regret not taking Bo Nix?
Yes.
Thank you for that short and decisive answer.
They would. Daniel Jones is
not
worth $40
million. How about the Tennessee Titans picking number seven? How about the Atlanta Falcons, who took Michael Penix with the 8th pick in the draft? What the hell are they doing?
I think Penix is going to be good, but
that's nice. But they already have a quarterback, and they're trying to win now.
I didn't like it then, but I do like Penix. So I think he's going to be a pretty quality NFL quarterback.
We have no way of knowing limits. That's the whole thing. How about Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy? You think he's going to be better than Nix?
No, I think they would rather have Nix. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be any good.
How about the team that picked right before the Denver Broncos? The Red Lines, the Fighting Red Lines, the New York Jets could have had Bo Nix.
Yeah, they were never going to pick a quarterback then, though. I mean, imagine the outrage with Aaron Rodgers then, after the outrage with Jordan Love in Green Bay.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, even he has to know it's only a 3-year deal and he's on year two. I don't think he would have chafed at all at them taking
Aaron Rodgers might have been the one that made the pick.
I'm wrong about that. He would have, because they didn't take someone who could help their team this year. I don't think that the actual act of bringing in a quarterback would have bothered him, but the fact that with that high of a pick, they didn't help their team this year. you know, I think you're right. He would have had a problem with.
Well, and they brought in Olu, and he hasn't. He's barely played on their offensive line, at least in the early portion of the year.
This is absolutely incredulent. He looks really good, though. He does. I think he's going to be a star. That's the way it looks. He's got a certain air about him. 10 touchdowns, 2 picks, throwing balls. Like, look at what he's done since those first two games.
Think about that quarterback class compared to what's coming out this year.
What's coming out this year?
Exactly. Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck. Like, everybody came out last year. There's not a lot this year. If you wanted a quarterback, your best chance was last year.
Where does Jeff Beck rank among your all-time guitarist limits? High or low? You don't even know who he is, do you?
No.
Neither do I. Hmm. Wait. Is Jeff Beck the guitarist for who? Oh, who is he the guitarist for, Limits? Who is Jeff Beck? Oh, the Yardbirds? I thought there was someone more famous than that. Who, in your opinion, is the greatest guitar player of all time?
Yeah, the Yardbirds. Jeff Beck's group and Beck.
They came out in 1950. Ron covered their first concert.
He died last year.
Ron did?
Jeff Beck?
Oh, Jeff Beck did. I was going to say I was working with Ron last year. And I thought he was happily living in Fort Myers.
He is.
That would have been horrible news.
Best guitarist, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah? Even at your young age, are you a Hendrix guy?
I can respect history and respect greatness.
Do you listen to Jimi Hendrix music?
I've listened to some.
No, you haven't.
Not an avid listener.
I don't think you have.
But I've dabbled.
Stevie Ray Vaughan up there for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Who else? Anybody? Bo Diddley? Bo Jackson? John Mayer?
What about Chuck Berry? Johnny B. Good.
Very good stuff. No pun intended.
Back to the Future.
Pete Townsend? A little bit of him thrown in there? I think that Lindsey Buckingham's a very underrated guitarist of all time. He didn't need to, like, you know, bite the strings with his teeth or going and light the guitar. No, I love Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Didn't need to light the guitar on fire. He just needed to play the song. You know what I mean? What
did you think of Disco Demolition Night at the White Sox game years ago?
Why do you ask?
I'm just curious. It popped into my mind.
I loved it. Did anybody get injured? In that case, I would say I hated it. I don't know what happened.
Somebody might have got injured.
They threw records. They handed out disco records and everybody threw them on the field.
Well, I was thinking about how guitarists became, you know, very popular in the 70s, 80s, and that was when Disco Demolition was going on as well, the end of disco.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
I don't remember
because
either.
Because Jeff, somebody got brought up.
I'm a little discombobulated. I have to admit that. I became a grandfather at 9:12 a.m. today.
I'm just discombobulated because you're discombobulated.
And I'm dealing with that right now in all its ramifications. Do I look like, if you saw me walking down the street, would you say, there goes somebody's grandfather? Don't you dare say yes.
No.
Would you?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I won't even come back at you.
Maybe if you kept your hood up and just kind of like didn't talk to anybody.
That hurts.
Why? I said
why?
You don't.
I don't want to be thought of as a grandfather.
I said
I
you don't
be a
look
grandfather.
Like a grandfather.
I don't want to look like.
You don't look like a grandfather.
And now I'm insulting all grandfathers. I didn't mean to do that either.
Poor grandfathers. Good people.
Most of them, yeah. Very
my grandfather's
good
a good person.
My grandfathers were great guys. I don't know. I'm a grandfather. I'm really happy. I can't wait to meet this little girl. It's one of the greatest days of my life, actually. But it comes with the reality of I'm a grandfather.
Are you going to be spoiling your granddaughter?
Oh, yes.
All kind of things, yeah.
Yes, I am. What sport should she play? Not softball. I've had enough of that.
Volleyball.
Crap. Volleyball.
Yeah. Or basketball.
How about flag football is a big sport now.
That'll be definitely big in the next 10, 15 years, like even bigger than it is now. It's going to be in the Olympics in 28.
I know. We had a guy on talking about that. All right, Limits. Give people the lay of the land here for the rest of the show. You're the one who planned it.
Yes, Deontay Johnson has spoken. What did Deontay have to say about the Steelers? He supposedly still has some connections with Pittsburgh. Interesting. Dalton Wasserman of PFF will join us at 1 o'clock. And our friend Jeff Hathorn from down on the south side will help preview Steelers Ravens.
Is Dalton Wasserman the one who things got a little heated, or was that a different guy?
No, that was Max Chadwick.
The things got a little heated with Max.
Yes, Max wasn't your biggest fan, apparently, with the JPJ stuff.
Yeah, he thought I was trying to, like, box him into a corner. All I said was, your grade for Joey Porter Jr. is bad, and he said the overall grade isn't, you know, all that counts. I said, well, what is? I thought everything that counts goes into the overall grade. Hmm. Was I wrong there, Limits?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Join Odyssey radio stations, Pitt Athletics, and Saloni's Italian Bakery at the Market District at Settlers Ridge. November 18th, 19th, and 20th from 2 until 7 p.m. While you're out buying supplies for your tailgates and Turkey Day celebrations, help us fill up the truck to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. Learn more at 937thefan.com. I saw one of the Shenderoviches last night. Strangely enough, I didn't see the other one. I know he was there. And I certainly didn't see Fishman, but he might have been
no
there.
No Fishman either.
No, I'm not saying there was no Fishman at this station event. All I'm saying is I spotted one of the Shenderoviches, and we did a quick fist bump. And usually I talk about golf with them. They're both very good golfers.
Did you ever see the picture that Donnie and I took with the Shenderoviches?
Yes, I did. It's a wonderful shot.
That is great.
Also, I saw Curtis Aiken, didn't get a chance to talk with him. Curtis, you promised a golf round. I think at Diamond Run, I want to cash in on that ASAP. Limits, you should start golfing. You and I could bond more.